Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. You can get all of Jordan's picks at FatJackSports.com. Jordan at home today. Didn't want to brave the weather and come in and do a podcast with your boy. I see how it is. No, it's fine.
Don't blame me. You can go to talk to top men, okay? Who sent out the email. And said, if you want to stay home, you can stay home.
Top men.
Yeah, so don't talk to me. Just talk to my agent.
You know, there's those that can work from home and those that can't work from home. You know, it's fine.
Exactly. Well, once you get to a spot where you don't have to work with the office and the station, you'll be sitting
at home. No, I will always be in a position where I have to come in.
Well, that's just putting negativity in.
That's not negative. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well, I have the choice.
That's fair.
Like
I'm just giving you shit.
It's good to have options.
I'm just giving you shit. If you can't tell.
You're just mad because. I don't even remember. Did your prop come in or not? Is that why you're salty?
None of our props came in. None of the picks came in. Nothing went as we predicted it to. It's another. Okay, one. All right. Still
Big
negative.
One.
It's been a bad 2 weeks. We all need a week off, so there's a week off in the MMA. Great.
I've needed a year off.
Well,
so, I mean, the 2024 trend has continued for 2025. And look, I'm so happy because I do love Jiří Prochazka. Like, he performed brilliantly, but everybody was on Hill. Like, everybody I talked to, Hill was the bet. And even David Kaplan, Cap, texted me because he was like, what is your best bet? I'm like, God damn, I don't want to do this. I don't do it. You play everything. Oh, man. All right, fine. It's Hill. So play all the Hill props. Play the under. Play Hill by KO. Play win straight up.
Nothing.
None of them. None of them.
Nothing. So recapping UFC 311 that took place on Saturday night. If you couldn't tell, we're recording this on Tuesday, the coldest day possible. It's like -5 outside, so that's why I was giving Jordan crap for not coming in. But yeah, I think this was, obviously it didn't go our way in the way that we projected it, but also stuff was switched up. Like, obviously you have Merab Dvashvili coming through and winning against Umar Nurmagomedov, which is probably the best fight of the night. But the main story is that we ended up with a main event with Islam Makhachev and Renato Moicano on a day's notice, on literally a day's notice. And I don't think anybody thought that this was out of the question, but Islam Makhachev made very quick work in the first round, submitting Renato Moicano to retain his title, retain his pound-for-pound status, and now elevated to pound-for-pound status in Dana White's eyes, moving John Jones or whatever he said to the media afterwards.
So many different storylines to take off of that. Obviously this happens in our sport. It does. These last-minute changes, weight cuts don't go well. Injuries are not disclosed, and you have to make a shuffle. You had to do something on the fly, and that's what they had to do. What I don't understand is, like, they're picking and choosing when they have backup fighters. I mean, typically when there's a high profile fight, and in my mind, it's the Makhachev and Armin Tsarukyan's a high profile fight. Like, the fact that you don't have a Charles Oliveira or a Justin Gaethje, a Dan Hooker, like, on standby, like, waiting and doing the championship weight and making the weight cut. So in case this situation happens, you're prepared for it. And look, I love Moni Moicano, but he is not a title challenger. And, Dana White doing his best promoter's hats. And, oh, this guy's won 4 fights in a row. He has the longest win streak in lightweight, currently on the roster.
That's
his job, and that's all true. But, like, we obviously saw the fundamental differences between, Makhachev and Moicano. And look, it kind of derails Moicano a little bit now that his win streak is not intact. Like, he has to bounce back. And, Islam Makhachev can argue that he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and he's got this long win streak, but he just beat a guy that's, ranked number 15 in the world. He ranked the number 2 guy in the world. So I got, issues with that for sure. But I did did talk about on the podcast last week that Makhachev inside the distance. So he did pull that off. I mean, but the odds were certainly different between a Maikano fight.
Yeah, and, hopefully you listened to the show and picked it up before the fight was canceled or, you know, rescheduled or whatever you want to say. The sub came in. But at least we got a very good fight between Merab and Umar Nurmagomedov. At least that lived up to billing.
It did. It did. And it kind of played out who a lot of people thought. Like, Umar Nurmagomedov was impressive. He won the first two rounds kind of convincingly. Merab kind of picking and choosing his spots. And then he started to take over and utilized the one weapon that we've known and grown accustomed to seeing with Merab Dvalishvili, and that is his cardio. And his cardio just is fantastic. And whatever, Umar Nurmagomedov coming out, hey, he was hurt and had an injury, like, whatever. Every single fighter is.
Everybody has an excuse when they lose.
Yeah, exactly. So Merab, once again, proving the doubters wrong. I don't know who he fights next. Like, I mean, it feels like every single buddy he's fought has been a bantamweight champion. And I love the fact, too, that they're immediately saying that, like, Umar Nurmagomedov should fight Sean O'Malley, because that's great, because then that, like, eliminates another guy. You know, and so I think that that was the cash. That made me feel good about the night. Talked about Merab's decision. Merab straight up on the money line. Both of those coming in. Outside of that, look, the Bogdan Guskov, like, so infuriating. Like, the fact that the ref didn't stop it. He's just, like, standing there punching Billy Akana in the ribs. Like, dude, stop the fight. And then the ref's not stopping the fight. So then he goes and chokes him out. Like, we had the TKO in hand, so that's a shift. That was the reason why we didn't have a positive night. If you subscribe to the Fat Jack, like, Bogdan won the fight via TKO, but the ref didn't stop it, so then he had to choke him out to get the win. Mm-hmm. But that happens. Renato Ritter, like, you know, again proving himself. That was a bad read by me. I thought Kevin Holland would be too much, but to Ritter now, like, he's in the mix at 185. Like, he's got to fight somebody that's in the top five, in my opinion. Next, because of where he came from, being a multi-divisional champion and now 2-0 in the UFC with two finishes against two very good fighters at 185. That was pretty solid for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it was, I mean, despite us, you know, coming out on the losing end of a few of these, I think it was a very good pay-per-view. We talked about Jiří Procházka a little bit a few minutes ago. Jiří Procházka then on the microphone saying he wants another fight against Alex Pereira. Well, guess what, Procházka? Sorry about that, but it was announced on Saturday that UFC 313, it will be Alex Pereira against Magomed Ankalaev, and that should be a good one.
Yeah, we finally get, I mean, look, Magomed Ankalaev has probably deserved the fight for the championship over the last 2 years, but because of issues with Dana White and performances that he's had, he hasn't been able to get the shot. Now he's got it. It's going to take place on March 8th in Vegas, against the most popular fighter, and a mega fight, because obviously, as we talked about and I talked about with you a couple weeks ago, you know, Alex Pereira is probably the second most important fighter, in my opinion, for 2025 on what he's going to do. If he wins this fight, I think it's no doubt his next fight needs to be at heavyweight. I can't make the argument that Jiří Procházka now deserves a title shot.
No, he doesn't.
He's been finished twice by Alex Pereira. I am worried for Alex Pereira. I mean, right now, if I'm betting this fight, I'm betting it at Ankalaev.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, just because of the wrestling. The wrestling really, really still is a bother for me. So right now, it's Pereira's an underdog at plus 114 in this fight.
Wow.
Magomed Ankalaev minus 146 favorite. So as it stands right now, I think I agree with that line, and I'd be comfortable playing Magomed Ankalaev. And actually, that price has gone up on Magomed Ankalaev. It opened at 135, now it's at 146. There's some money coming in already on Ankalaev.
Wow. I think we might be, listen, you're the expert. I'm just here for the ride and the vibes and the bets. But I might have to go opposite on you. We'll see as the fight gets here. We've got until March to figure this out. Again, it's like, I'm not saying it's short notice, but it does seem like, you know, only basically two months from now that fight is going to be taking place, and that Pereira would agree to it in 2 months when the styles are so different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think in the back of his mind, like, Pereira knows that this fight was going to happen at some point. Magomed Ankalaev has been the number one light heavyweight fighter in the world outside of having the championship, and he had his chance to win the championship and won it, but Dana White didn't want to give it to him because the fight was so boring, and he gave it to Jamal Hill. So Ankalaev is a very will be the toughest challenge today for sure for Alex Pereira. But he'll look, we know he'll be ready. Glover's going to have him ready and prepared for that title fight in a couple of months. I'm happy we're seeing it because it's 1A, and now we just got to get 1B, if you will, in Tom Aspinall. Figure that out. Probably a little dig, Dana White, as you alluded to, Dana White digging at him a little bit, saying, oh, no, Islam's not the number one fighter in the world, not John Jones, trying to coax him out of that that belief he gets needs to get paid $30 million and get that fight booked at some point.
Yeah, listen, this is still MMA. It's not boxing yet, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people, but John Jones, I don't know. Like, you're not going to get – I don't think you're going to get that much for a fight in the UFC.
No, no. I still think that number's way off. But look, it's the fight – it's the fight that needs to happen. It's the fight that makes the most amount of sense. It's such a legacy fight, such an important fight for 2025, the direction of the heavyweight division, direction of their biggest star now, Pereira. So I'd love for some way, shape, or form for it to happen. It's the fight I want to see the most
It seems like until that happens, what's going to happen at heavyweight until then? You know what I mean? Like, until that fight happens, you just kind of have – we're just waiting for a heavyweight fight. You know what I mean? Like, that's the one that everybody's waiting for. And until they agree on something, we're not going to get a heavyweight fight.
No, so, yeah, there is the only other fight, the heavyweight fight, is Alex Pereira.
Yeah,
like that's the only other fight. Everybody else, Tom Aspinall is beaten, or a heavyweight doesn't deserve to fight for the championship. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have to wait and see play out. And you know, hopefully we get some, like I said, hopefully we get some clarity. You know, Dana White went to the inauguration. Good. Now get back, do your work. Let's book this fight.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
all right, subtle political stance.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, it's all right. They're just friends, though, right? That's what he said. They're just friends. So no fights this week, as we talked about. Probably good for you and me. We need a break. 2 weeks into the year, we already need a break. and we head across the world to Saudi Arabia, to Riyadh, at what they call the venue in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The UFC has been there before. This is a fight card that will start at 8 a.m. Central Time, the prelims, because Riyadh has a lot of money, and so they basically can dictate policy as to when these fights take place, other than when you go, you know, around the world to other places, and Dana White's like, nah, we're going to have these at a weird time because we want the American audience. No, Riyadh doesn't give a crap. We're giving you a lot of money to come here, so you're on our time, basically, is how it is. And so the main card starts at 11 a.m. Central, but I think this is actually a good thing, right? Hear me out. I think it's a good thing that it's not on at night. I know that this is kind of when the casual fan starts to shift gears to college basketball and the NBA, because now the college football season is over. You know, 98% of the NFL season is over. We've got two games on Sunday. This is taking place the week in between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. I feel like this is a perfect time for a daytime card for UFC.
I agree with you from the timing standpoint. Like, it's perfect the week between the Super Bowl and the AFC-NFC championship. You maybe push it a little bit later in the day. But yeah, I agreed. Yeah, fine. Daytime MMA fights, fine. And especially with the star power it's got at the top of the bill, mm-hmm. Sure. That's certainly conducive for the casual fan or the hardcore fan. And you're right, it is that time of year. I just wish it wasn't at 8 a.m. Give me like 10 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. for the prelims.
That's fine.
I can understand that.
I can understand that. All right, so this one is going to actually be pretty good. We've got the main event here, Israel Adesanya against Nassourdine Imavov. Israel Adesanya -170 right now, 175 right now, the favorite. And then your co-main event, is this going to be five rounds, the Magomedov fight and Michael Page, or is that going to be three rounds?
I think it's a three-round fight. Only interesting because Michael Page is going up to middleweight. You know, he's you know, had his entire mixed martial arts career at welterweight, but it's an interesting challenge for him following his first loss in the UFC to Ian Machado Gary, going up in late to take out Bullet Ankalaev, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, you know, exactly. And you know, I think Sher Bullets, he needs a notable name on his resume. He needs a good performance. We can't get him yet in the States, so he's gonna have to, he obviously has to be part of this card. So very interested to see how he performs in that co-main event. And then obviously, yeah, Adesanya. Like, how does he continue to be in the mix at middleweight, or is Nassourdine Imavov, you know, the next big kind of middleweight contender to maybe meet the winner of Duplessis and Strickland, which takes place the following week, in Australia.
Yeah, right now Adesanya is minus 175. Like I said, Shara Magomedov is minus 180. Michael Page is plus 150. We also have Jezerio Rozenstrike here fighting against Sergey Pavlovich. I don't have odds for this one in front of me right now on ESPN.com, but this should be a good fight regardless.
Yeah, I mean, heavyweight fight, you know, two guys that are known for striking, Sergey Pavlovich at one point was a title hunt, but has, had two lackluster performances, and Jezerio Rozenstrike, always fun. This will be a stand-up war until somebody goes to sleep. Currently, right now, Pavlovich is about a 2.5 to 3 to 1 favorite. So, yeah. money is certainly on Pavlovich as the big-time favorite, but certainly there's opportunity in Jezerio Rozenstrike.
Yeah, anything you're looking at that we should get ahead on ahead of?
I mean, look, I don't know if you've been doing the podcast at the time this guy has made his UFC debut because he last fought it. We were doing it July of 2022. He had his UFC debut originally a win overturned because he tested positive for an illegal substance and has been on the sideline since. And that is your Egyptian brother,
Hamdi. I was waiting for you to say that, and then I was going to bring it up, that I believe the only Egyptian fighter on the UFC roster is Hamdi Abdelwahab Last. He's 5-0. He's won.
He's 5-0.
I follow him on Instagram. The dude hasn't stopped training, for 2 years.
He's an Olympian. An Olympic gold medalist.
He went to that grappling league. I saw him. He fought in that 4 or 5 months ago or something like that.
Okay.
I don't think it went well. I think he lost that. But in the UFC, he's 5-0. I mean, whatever. It says he's 5-0. He made his debut a couple years ago. He won that. And then you said it was reversed.
Yeah, it was overturned.
Yeah.
Split decision overturned. So, he's fighting a guy in Jamal Poggs who's, comes from a good camp. He's a good boxer. But Hamdi is the underdog. I'm firing off on him.
Yeah!
Because of the wrestling acumen, his Greco-Roman style. I know, like he said, even though he's been out of the cage for 2 years, he's an athlete. The guy is used to the grind, used to the training, so I'm not concerned about ring rust, if you will, and not competing. He knows what competition is like, so I love him as the slight underdog right now, plus 114. So I'm already going to fire off on him to be a play for sure. Maybe it'll even be a certain Fat Jack selection as well.
Oh, and guess what? It's already prop of the night. We have to.
There it is.
We have to. I mean, what am I not going to go with my countrymen here?
No, of course not.
Come on.
Of course you are.
I'm waking up for this fight.
That's your boy.
I'll be awake. Okay, I have a 2-year-old. What are we kidding?
I'll be awake.
I'm going to be awake. If you have kids, you'll be awake for this card.
Yeah. It's guys like Black that are going to bed around this time.
Exactly. I've always found that interesting. When I didn't have kids up until 2 years ago, right? Because producing Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie for years, you always have that. I want to be respectful and not text someone too early in the morning to come on the show. That goes completely out of the window when you know that person has kids. Because if they have kids, they're up early. They're up getting them ready for school. They're getting them out the door. So I can fire off an 8 a.m. text like it's nothing.
A 7:30
a.m.
whatsoever.
Like it's nothing. Exactly. Yeah. And they don't care because they're awake too. And they're like, oh, this guy's awake. All right, awesome. And you get it out of the way. So yes, this is nothing for us because we'll be awake.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's certainly looking forward to his. I've always been kind of chomping at the bit to see him return to the octagon. And we'll see. Always love that influx of talent into the heavyweight division.
He does. So obviously it's been 2 years. I tried to get him on the podcast last time after he won. And he doesn't speak the best English. So we kind of DM'd back and forth. And he was like, we were going through the time difference and all that kind of stuff and trying to get him on. And then he was like, honestly, the language is going to be a bit of a barrier to do a long form interview. So we wish him the best. Friend of the podcast,
Friend of the podcast
adjacent. Because I was
that was 2 years ago, right?
I know. That's what I'm saying. A lot can change in 2 years. So maybe I'll reach out again and see if we can get him on either before or after this fight. Obviously, the time difference is kind of an issue. It's we're recording this now. It's 12:30 in the morning in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's over there right now, too. So
yeah, exactly. Egypt to Saudi is not a long flight. It's 2.5 hours. It's not like going to... I always told people here it's like going to Florida. Like, it's 2.5 hours.
That's a nothing commute.
It is. It's like 2.5 hours. Dude, I did it all the time. When I lived over in Saudi Arabia, I've got family living over in Egypt. We went every time we had a break, like a summer break, winter break, for whatever holidays, we'd go see my family in Egypt. It's like 2.5 hours. It's nothing.
Just hop on a plane.
Exactly. There's like a barely a time. It's like East Coast going to, from Central Time to East to West Coast. It's nothing. Like, it's a couple hours time difference, or an hour time difference. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. They don't have anything to worry about.
Let's just see if we can get it done.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll work on it. All right. He is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. We'll get official picks for this UFC fight night that takes place in Saudi Arabia next week when we do the podcast. You can get all of his picks at FatJackSports.com. You've still got the conference championships for the NFL, college basketball, NBA, all that good stuff. Get them at FatJackSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll talk to you next week with a full preview of this UFC fight night on the Unnamed MMA podcast. Thanks for listening.